but it is our duty to know what passes here, what manner of man or other being, and with what loyalties. I have heard such things of one Poxenarian, but I would not let that one pass. So these things must be spoken of, and your faiths proved." The red horse stopped short at Pox's thought. She faced the knight squarely. "Sir Knight, my faith has been proved already by such trials as I pray you never face." He reddened, but she went on. "I think you will be convinced, ere I leave, of what manner of man or other being rides such a horse in such a way." She smiled then, and nudged the horse on. "But it will be quicker to convince you and your commander all in one. Let us ride in." And the long-striding red horse caught up and passed the knights, and led the way into the keep courtyard. Sir Regnall was stiffly correct in presenting Pox to his commander, a heavy-set older man with the intricate corded knots of a cohort commander on the shoulders of his velvet winter tunic. Gunnarion Varrakai. Pox recalled from the charts in the Duke's library that this was a second son of the minor branch of that powerful family, second only to Merakai in influence at court. She bowed, and carefully chose an applicable honorific, which recognized his family position as well as his guard's rank. "Sir Niggin Varrakai." His eyebrows didn't rise, but he did not miss the wording.
"Poxenarian Dorthan's daughter. Duke Phelan's veteran?"
"Yes, my lord, not presently in his service."
"Ah, yes. On Gerd's service, you told Sir Regnall?"
"Yes." She wondered how far they would press.
"Have you any authorization from the Granges? From Finn Kinnear, perhaps?"
"From Gerd, my lord," she said. This time his eyebrows did rise. Not all the Varrakai, she remembered, were Gerdsmen. Some were Fokian, some Quakvanir, and some, it was rumored, followed less honored gods.
"But you are not a marshal, you said?"
"No." It was astonishingly hard to say, to actually open her mouth and claim what she was among strangers. "I am a paladin." At least it sounded all right. They stared. Finally the commander said,
"A paladin."
He sounded unconvinced. Pox was not surprised. She was uneasily aware that she was going to have to prove it to them.
"Could you tell me," he went on, "why a paladin should come here, where we have no need of one?"
"Because you lie between where I was and where I must go," she said crisply.
"Oh. And where is that, if you please?"
Pox met his gaze steadily, and his eyes fell first. "I don't think," she said finally, "that that is your concern. If you know anything of paladins, you know we must answer the call at once and without question, nor do we answer questions without need." He nodded.
"Yes, I knew that. I just wondered. But—"
He looked her up and down.
"I had heard things last year at court. I mean, no offense meant, but I heard of a Fulani veteran who went to Finn Pinnear to become a paladin and failed. Left Finn Pinnear, was wandering around as a—"
He paused, delicately. "Coward?" suggested Pox, amazed that she could. He glanced quickly at her and nodded. "Well," she went on briskly, "you have heard a lot, it seems. Some of it was true. It is also true that wounds heal, and cowards can regain their courage. And it is true that now I am a paladin. When the Marshal General came to Phelan's stronghold—"
"What?"
The commander looked even more flabbergasted.
"A Marshal